Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Later in the week, tomorrow, James Franklin, the head football coach of the Nittany Lions. He'll be with us tomorrow at 4:06 at this time. On Wednesday, Tim Owen, Blue White Illustrated, Greg Pickle, Fight on State on recruiting. Tim Van Huren of ESPN.com joins us Thursday on Big Ten recruiting. We're joined by the head basketball coach of the Bucknell Bison, Dave Paulson. Dave, welcome back. Congratulations on the win. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks. Great to be on the show, Steve.
Dave, let's talk about the first half against Colgate. What did you see just come together before your eyes that allowed you to build that kind of margin?
Well, you know, I think, our guys did a really great job defensively, and that's where it all starts with us. And one of the things that we've been really trying to preach to our guys is what happens when teams take away our first option or second option offensively. And we were able to get to our third and fourth option offensively and get good shots. And I think one of the things with this team is when things have gone, you know, as planned offensively, we get really good shots. We knock them down. When teams are a little more locked in defensively against us, we haven't always been willing or able to get to our second or third option within an offensive possession. So we did a much better job with that, and that completed we played well on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, let's talk about the options for a moment. I think a lot of fans see a game, and they see you have 35 seconds to work with, and you run a play, okay, you got the play. Discuss the options that are in front of your players as to what they can do with a first, second, and third option on a play.
Well, you know, so and we run a kind of like an offense where they make reads and they adjust. You know, so you know, a lot will depend on guys coming off the screen. You know, are they trying to chase them over the top? Are they trying to switch it? Are they trying to sag? If we come off that, you know, do we hit the big guy rolling or do we throw back to a guard? But if that's taken away, you know, where we really explored all the options on one side of the floor to swing the ball the other side of the floor and get to different reads in terms of different screening actions, different cutting actions we can do and how they might defend it. And that's one of the things with our team is just if we've been forced to get to that second or third side of the floor, sometimes the ball stops, the guys stop cutting, they don't screen as hard. And when we played well, we've continued to cut hard, screen hard, and read the defense. And obviously some teams make it harder on you to do that because of their length or their athleticism or their defensive focus. And that's really where our team needs to make progress and certainly made progress against Colgate on Saturday.
When Chris Haas, Ben Brackney, and Cameron Ayers combined to go 8 of 16 in threes, how much easier does life get?
Life gets a lot easier. You know, there's no question about it. And again, a lot of that, sometimes you can get a great shot opportunity and miss it. You know, and those guys are human, mm-hmm. and they're going to miss some great shot opportunities. And certainly that's happened in some of our games where we haven't played particularly well. But a lot of times it's been, you know, these teams aren't stupid. You know, they scout and they know, hey, we can make life harder for Bucknell if we shut down Chris Haas, Cameron Ayers, and Ben Brackey from three. And so those guys have to learn how to cut and screen and move the ball and maybe come off two or three screens instead of one in a possession. And then our point guards need to do a better job of being able to get to the second, third, fourth option within a play to get those guys the open shot opportunities. And that's, you know, that's one of the things that we've been really trying to stress with our guys, and the degree to which we've done that well, we've played well, and the degree to which we haven't done it well is when we've really struggled offensively.
There are certain guys that you need to set screens for because they can't get their own shot. It's just a fact of life. It's just the way everybody's built. There are some people, though, that can get their shot any time. Who'd be that person for you? And I think I know what the answer is. And then how much easier it is for you to coach when a guy can get his own shot?
Well, I think one of the guys who's really, really played well lately, of course, has been Cameron Ayres, and he's been able to get his own shot. And what he's done even better is he's starting to learn. And we're offensively playing differently than we did last year, and so we had a lot of success early because we kind of surprised some people, and he got that shot on the first option. And now he's learning how to use every aspect of our offense to just get a half a second of separation. And so obviously he's done a great job. And then I think the second guy in that category would be Chris Haas, who can go get his own shot. And when both those guys are able to do it, and they're both unselfish for that, if they can go get their own shot and they draw two defenders, you know, then they're more than willing and able passers. But again, with Chris as a sophomore, and you know, he missed a game with a knee injury, and he's been limited in practice, you know, ever since. And it's a big adjustment to be a sophomore and to be a focal point of a scouting report. But so his kind of, you know, getting his second wind, if you will, and his second go-round legs to really be in attack mode all the time, not only will he help us score, but he'll get more shot opportunities for a guy like Ben Brackney, who quite frankly needs his teammates to help him get free for open shot opportunities.
There are moments where you can make things complicated for your team because they can handle it. Thus, it gives the opposition different looks. Then there are other times where maybe you actually play better when you simplify things. What option do you have with this team right now? Is it better when things are simplified for them, or can you make it more complicated at both ends?
Yes. That's a great question. You know, and when
I'm
not trying to be sarcastic. You know, the beauty of last year's team, Steve, is we were very simple, and we could be. And this is what we're going to do defensively, and this is what we're going to do offensively, and you guys come and try to stop us. And for the vast majority of time, people couldn't do that. We're not built like that. Like, so we can't be that straightforward. Or there's just going to be teams in our schedule that are more talented or more diverse than us, and they're going to beat us. The challenge is, as you add layers of complexity to potentially confuse your opponents, you also potentially confuse your team. And so finding that balance of how much we can add to their plate without losing our execution, it's been a real juggling match, you know, for our guys and for our coaching staff. How much can we give them? And, you know, at times we've been giving them too much, and at times we've probably erred in not giving them enough. And it's, you know, every team is different, and finding the pulse of your team is the fun, but also the great challenge in coaching.
It still is the best answer of the year, though.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. See if James Frank can beat that tomorrow, all right?
Yeah, I'll see that tomorrow. What about this? Yes.
I channel my best Greg Popovich right there. Yeah.
You channel your inner Greg Popovich. It's coming out now. A good one was the ESPN announcers. Dave Pasch, I can't remember who was working with, may have been John Berry, flipped a coin to see who would interview him. Pasch lost.
Absolutely. I can believe that one.
Lafayette's coming up at home on Wednesday. You'll have three of the next four, but one of them's a trip to the Holy Cross play in Worcester. Give us a little quick read on Lafayette Wednesday.
Well, Lafayette is a very, very talented offensive team. I mean, they're one of the most efficient offensive teams in the country. Up to this point, they've not been one of the stronger defensive teams. So we beat them 96-86 up in Easton earlier in January. They had one of the leading scorer in the league hurt his knee right before conference play, and he's been back now, Seth Heinrichs. And that doesn't look at full strength yet, but when he's back at full strength, they put five unbelievably good scores on the floor at one time. Wow. So They're a very, very good offensive team, and we need to play really well defensively. And we also need to be efficient offensively because, you know, there's not a team you're going to keep in the 60s, I don't think.
Dave, always a pleasure. If you're asking if the interview is over, I will tell you yes.
Yes. All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Dave. Good luck. Dave Paulson, the head Dave Paulson, the head basketball coach at Bucknell. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, Lafayette at Soika. We hope you turn out for that. Like, you know, just keep that place, filling that place up to see this this program play. Bullish on Dave, bullish on Bucknell, and I tell you, the fans of this area have been treated to some really, really good college basketball over the years at Soika, so keep coming out. That'd be great.
And I'll tell you what, Steve, the Patriot League itself has been just a battle this year. I mean, over the weekend especially, a couple of big surprises, you know, with Lehigh, and then, you know, with the addition of Boston, I think that's just been a positive for the basketball side of things.
Yeah, BU. I mean, it makes the Patriot deeper. The one thing that is the one area where I always advocate, if I'm going to advocate more bids in the NCAA tournament, I would advocate for, you know, like the Patriot Leagues of the world to get an extra bid, you know, somewhere.
Because they're never going to get an at-large.
You and I both know it's not going to happen. All right? But I'm saying if I were to advocate for extra bids, it would not be for the BCS conferences. It would actually be for the Patriots of the world that actually produce a better brand of basketball, as proven by the NCAA tournament, than people realize. That's why Bucknell's won games in the NCAA tournament. That's why Bucknell's advanced in the NIT and so forth, because they play a brilliant brand of basketball. Now remember, 2 years ago in the NIT, who did Bucknell beat?
Arizona, wasn't it? Arizona, at, open things up.
At Tucson. Who's been praised left and right all season long? Until they lost to Cal the other night.
I was going to say, until just the other night, maybe. It was Arizona.
Arizona. All right. We will come back with more. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Attention residents of Central PA! The sub-zero temperatures are expected for at least another week, but Sunbury Motors is about to heat things up!
Sunbury Motors Kia is blasting through this cold winter weather.
Check out these hot deals.
22 of the snow-busted 2014 Sereno all-wheel drive midsize SUVs starting at $23,999. With up to $4,500 off and 0% APR financing available for up to 60 months. How about the all-new redesigned 2014 Kia Soul? 10 to choose from starting at $14,995. Or the 2014 Sportage LX, only $21,965. And every new Kia comes with a 10-year 100,000-mile limited warranty. Sunbury Motors Kia helps you blast through the cold with these hot deals. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
All applicable factory rebates apply. Tax and tax extra must qualify. Specialty incentives apply. 0% financing through KMF will affect final price.
Hi, this is Susan Purdy. For over 85 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. Our trained and knowledgeable staff has centuries of experience, so rest assured your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 286-5855, check us out online at purdyinsurance.com, or visit us on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
And my music froze. Go ahead.
Let me guess, it was the Olympic theme.
No, it wasn't, actually.
Oh, good. Thank goodness.
I mean, if you wanted to be, I suppose I could probably do something.
Our thanks, by the way. You know, they play that now in Guantanamo to get information for prisoners.
They do.
It's just torturous. James Franklin in this time slot tomorrow. And we'll be talking at 4:06 tomorrow. We'll also have on the show Tim Owen of Bluette Illustrated and Greg Pickle of Fight on State. They'll be on Wednesday's show. We'll be talking recruiting.
National 11th and 10th Day is Wednesday. The big recruiting event in the Jordan Center. They open the doors at 5. It's $5 admission if you'd like to go. LeVar Arrington, Michael Motti will be there. And Thursday, Tim Van Heeren from ESPN.com on the overall Big Ten recruiting scene.
Now, I have him.
Jeff Byers on wrestling as well. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I have a recruiting question. When you sign on signing day and everything's all locked in, why is it the NCAA does not want you to talk about it? You personally. I mean, isn't it a done deal at that point?
I can talk about it.
Okay. Well, there were times where they have to be enrolled, and I guess that's because before signing day, I guess that's what it is.
It's the five early enrollees I can talk about. They've already signed and they're in.
But after signing day, then you're allowed to talk about things?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, for example, I can talk to you about Isaiah Washington and Shep Garner in basketball. They signed in the early signing period. They have a verbal for next year. I can't talk about the verbal for next year. He's a forward. Okay? Can't mention his name.
But once he puts his name on paper...
He's now committed to it.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I had the rules correct.
Right. That's the rule. So, you know, say, for example, somebody throws out names. Am I going to talk a lot about individual recruits? I mean, I'll talk about them in general, but again, I want to see them on a practice field. So one thing that happens that there's a certain segment of the fan base gets really enamored with the freshman class, and I can understand that because that's your future right there. So that part makes total sense, right? But the one thing that they rarely take into account is the evening of the playing field when they get on a practice field with people. And we're suddenly, you're now over there practicing at State College Area High School against some good athletes and some that, you know, are good enough to play high school football, but that's their life, that's as far as they're going in it. Like when I played high school football, the guy going across from me wasn't getting better. All right? I mean, I was a functional two-way high school player. That's what I was. The guy across from me
qualified for that.
But I'm saying, but the guy across from me was not getting better because I was so good I made him better. Now, when they make the transition from high school to college and they get in that training camp in August, I can guarantee you the guy across from him is making them better. That's why you usually only see 5 to 7 freshmen on each team really play. Because there are more players out there, there's depth, and the playing field is now level talent-wise. I don't understand why he's developing. Just give him some time. After a couple of years of not developing, well, then maybe they're circling a fogged-in airport. Okay. So that's why I said, well, what do you think of, you know, let's take a guy I can talk about because he's enrolled, Michael O'Connor. What do you think? I've never seen him throw a football in my life. I talked about this with Christian Hackenberg last year. Said, until I see him throw a ball, then I'll get excited about him. I watched him throw a ball the first week of practice. I looked around and said, I called up Shaq. I go, he said, what do you think? I go, oh, my goodness. I said, he can play.
He's got some skills.
But let me give you an example. Syracuse game. He threw an interception where Robert Welsh picked it off. Remember that play?
Yes.
And the play was a zone blitz. He's a defensive end. Welsh dropped off in the zone blitz, and he threw and didn't read it right, and he picked it off first game. Right? Now, in high school, despite going to a quality program, how many times did he see the zone blitz? I mean, really?
If you're lucky, once in 4 years.
I mean, you watch. Hold on a second.
I see an awful lot of high school football, all right?
Let me go to the guy that watches tape.
I see an awful lot of high school football.
Tape. How often do you see teams in District 4 run a zone blitz?
Not too. I mean, there are a few that resemble a zone blitz, but you don't see it that often.
Exactly. My point.
And I've seen a lot of football.
So things are a little different, a little more complicated. I mean, not a little bit, a lot more complicated because you have better athletes to run this stuff. That's why you're able to run certain things. You may not have the app. I mean, you could. The conversation I just had with Dave Paulson, where we had a little fun with each other about more complicated versus simple. You notice in his answer, he talked about last year's team. They had a lot of talent on last year's team. You know, Cameron Ayers is back, Muscala, of course, Johnston, Joe Willman. Well, they're so good at what they do, he could simplify things and basically dictate the tempo of the game. All right? You didn't have to be complicated with those guys because they were good enough in a simplified system to be really good at it. Nah, you got to be maybe a little more complicated, show them some different looks, things like that. You know, and that was a great answer. Well, you could do that with... great athletes. You can do certain things with great athletes. Something on a run his own blitz, because guess what? He's capable of driving. Take C.J. Alanian. C.J. Alanian is the kind of athlete where you can drop him all over the place. Remember, Zettel had an interception in the Michigan game. Well, I'm sorry. You just don't see Zettels in high school. All right? Drop into a zone, into the right spot, have the proper depth, pick the pass off, run it back. Just doesn't happen. Naturally, I'm sitting at home after going through a game and so forth, because I was at the Jordan Center at 7:20 yesterday morning for shoot around. I do the game and I come back and I do the update show for the radio network. Naturally, during the national anthem, I get a text, 202, I missed.
I did miss. It was the under, and she didn't wear gloves. It was a bad, at least I got tails right on the coin toss. Missed a few
today's show brought, oh. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today, O'Reilly versus Obama. Oh, I'm sorry. That's wait a minute. That's for the On the Mark show.
Wrong show.
We should just have a news show and a sports show.
It takes all the fun out of things. Sometimes each crossover.
No, we haven't crossed over yet.
Yeah, we did. There was one day it crossed over. It was what a was tragic that? Day in Boston, where the news crossed.
Yeah, but
over.
that was a sporting event. That's different.
Right. That's true. Yeah.
No, it was a sporting event. That wasn't that. You know, you had to do that. You were on the air live while it's happening.
Absolutely.
All right. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. James Franklin on the show tomorrow. The head football coach of the Nittany Lions at 4:06. The big recruiting event coming up at the Jordan Center Wednesday at 6. Doors open at 5. Admission $5. If you want to go. First time it's ever happened. I won't be able to be there. I'm actually flying to Michigan State during that particular time. So I won't be at the recruiting event. And then we also will have Tim Owen of Blue White Illustrated and Greg Pickle of Fight on State. They'll be on Wednesday's show talking about recruiting. Tim Van Huren from ESPN.com. He's going to be on the show Thursday talking about Big Ten recruiting. We'll have Jeff Byers on later in the week as well to talk about Penn State wrestling. So we have a lot going on this week. Right now at open line at 800-795-9565. That's 800-795-9565. All right? It's been a roller coaster ride for Kevin right now at the depth, because the Jerome Bettis fan club dealt another blow to the candidacy of their guy.
It's a travesty.
I tried to explain to him that 9,200 carries, getting 10,100 yards is not good.
Maybe next year. I've said that a lot this year, actually. In the last season, I should say. I've said that an awful lot.
Go ahead. Tell them what Rebecca told you.
Well, we're texting back and forth after the announcement came down. And, of course, you're explaining to me why. You're explaining to me why Jerome Bettis did not make the Hall. And then followed it up with, you are seething, aren't you? And I just start laughing. And she goes, who are you texting? I said, Steve. She goes, well, can I ask what it was about? So I explained it to her. And I said, his last text was, you are seething. And she goes, he knows you very well, doesn't he?
Yes. And, you know, I don't think Bettis is as mad as you are.
Well, like I said, I agree with you. I think it's going to be done. It's a done deal now. This was his best year, a best opportunity, I should say. I don't think it's going to happen now until it happens
Right. I think he gets in the way Ray Guy got in.
Right.
Okay. Now, the difference, let's take a Ray Guy. Ray Guy should already been in. He should not have to go the veterans route. And here's my reasoning why. He's the best guy at his position.
I mean, isn't there an award named after him?
Well, in college.
Well, still. I mean, if there's an award named after you, it's usually because you were pretty good at what you did.
Yeah, but that's in college, though. I mean, that's a college award. It's not a pro award. But he was considered to be the signature guy at his position in the National Football League. And there have been some great punters in the National Football League. Sammy Baugh was a great punter in the NFL. Yale Larry was a great punter in the NFL. You know, we have some today that are Gerald Wilson of the Kansas City Chiefs was a great punter in his day. And we have some today that are really, really good. All right? But he was the signature guy that made people look at punting and say, you know what, that's a defensive weapon. Look what he does. Consistently long fields behind defenses after he punted. Consistently. Yet it took until the Veterans Committee, the two veteran slots, to get him in. That's where Jerome Bettis will get in.
You know, Friday we were talking about some of the prop bets and we were having fun with some of the strange prop bets that were going on. We actually did really well with the first four, and then the national anthem started, and that was the end of it. And
guess how much thought I gave any of these.
I did get the color right of the Gatorade. It was orange. Now, the second Gatorade was not orange, but it doesn't count because it was only on the first. Flea did not wear a shirt, so the Red Hot Chili Peppers were shirtless. Two of the members actually were shirtless. So I got that one right. But one of the entertaining ones that you and I laughed about and thought it would be at the same time would be who would be seen more. Would it be Archie Manning or Eli Manning? And I never saw Archie Manning once.
No.
I saw Eli twice, but Archie was not anywhere to be found.
Can't believe this is what we're talking about. All right.
Listen, in the football game, Steve, there was nothing else to talk about during the game. I mean, let's be honest. The commercials were weak.
Actually, there is a lot to talk about with the football game because now you're looking at the average age of the Seahawks, which is comparable to some of the other dynasties that we saw in the NFL when they won their first championships. You know, the Dolphins in 71 were right about the same age when they lost to the Cowboys, but then they won Super Bowls 7 and 8. The age of the San Francisco 49ers in 1981 when they won their first Super Bowl, comparable within a couple months of the average age of this team, which is very talented.
But the money issue is going to be the problem.
No, because they got a lot of these guys locked up. This is different.
But not forever.
But the next 3 years they will.
I mean, if you're going to have any kind of dynasty, you better do it back to back to back.
They're in that position. The problem they have is that another great team in their division exists. they don't have the free and easy path that the Patriots do or the Colts do to getting to their respective division titles. The NFC is a deeper, stronger conference right now than the AFC, no question. And even in their own division, they have the San Francisco 49ers sitting there, who are a whisker away from them. Now, San Francisco had tremendous damage done when Navarro Bowman got hurt, and the recovery on that, who knows how good he'll be next year. Now, 2 years from now, he'll be back to his old self, but how will he be next year? Playing with a brace? I mean, Navarro didn't play with a brace here. But they have a great young quarterback. They're going to have Michael Crabtree for an entire season. Conversely, Seattle will have Percy Harvin for an entire season. What's allowed San Francisco and Seattle to be really good is the fact that both of their quarterbacks, the two quarterbacks, are not first-round picks, and they're still falling under their original contract. That's why Seattle could sign Bobby Averill. That's why Seattle could sign Percy Harvin. That's why Anquan Boldin could sign with San Francisco.
I think of the two teams, or maybe even the four teams that were in the championship games for each conference, Denver is the one that has the most concern trying to keep that team together or be able to keep that team together.
Eric Decker has already said he's opting for free agency. He's already made that move. So at that point, that's where the breakup point comes. That's where, how do you counter that? Now, the problem that Denver has is, for example, they have a quarterback that commands money. And believe me, he could be paid a lot more, but he's, to give his team flexibility, he's not, just like Tom Brady. They both rolled back, believe it or not, their contracts to be in a, quote, reasonable range, as opposed to the deal in Baltimore with Joe Flacco, which is... And the same thing with that. What do you think keeps Dallas from having flexibility to do things? Tony Romo's contract's really such a big deal. Like Flacco's, it reduces flexibility.
Well, Tony Romo in general is a problem for them.
Well, but yeah, to a point. I think when you watch Dallas play, the problem is defense, not number nine. I think number nine is forced to make some plays at the end of games because defensively they're just not good enough, especially when Sean Lee is not out there. And so every mistake he makes becomes magnified. I think you'll see an expanded playoff in the NFL where they'll add one more team in each conference and only one team will get a bye. And ironically, the two teams that would have a first-round bye under that new playoff system, Seattle and Denver.
Weren't they originally thinking about... Didn't they discuss 16?
No. They've never taken it beyond 14. They've never taken it beyond 14. And Arthur Blank of Atlanta says that they are still, they have questions and they're still exploring it.
16's too many.
Well, because you're going to get teams that might be under 500 at that point. Remember the griping about Seattle, Pete Carroll's second year, they went 7-9, won the West, and got in and got a home game with New Orleans as a divisional champion. And they beat the Saints and then lost to the Bears eventually. That's why I kind of laugh at it with Pete Carroll. Oh, he's been brilliant. What a genius. Look what he does. It's like, look, the dude struggled until he got Russell Wilson.
But
it takes time. It takes time. I mean, remember, they tried. They tried Tavares Jackson. They tried Charlie Whitehurst. Then they signed Matt Flynn to a huge deal. And if Flynn doesn't get an ankle injury, they might be stuck with him. They're not in this spot.
Do they have to add a week to the regular season? I mean, I've heard them talking about it, and I've heard, not the regular season, but the playoffs. I've heard them talking about it, then I've heard, no, they don't need to. I don't know where it stands right now.
Of course they don't need to. It's just an extra game on each conference.
So you're going to play three games on Saturday and two on Sunday for the wild card week?
Yeah. Yeah, or else you might play three on Sunday.
No, I don't want to see that. I'd rather see it on Saturday.
Why 1-4-25-8? That's what you do every Sunday.
I know, but
every Sunday that's your schedule. That's your schedule every Sunday.
And all right, I'm going to look at this from a non-money television point of view. Okay.
Oh.
This is just me as a guy sitting in the recliner watching the game.
Yeah.
I hate those primetime games that run till midnight. on the East Coast. I know why they do it. I understand it. I get it. I hate it. It makes it really tough to keep one eye open when the alarm goes off the next morning.
Well, if you do the extra playoff game, here are your options. Playing at 1 o'clock, 4:25, and 8 o'clock on Saturday.
See, I'm okay with the Saturday.
Yeah, but here's the problem, all right? Who's going to watch the 1 o'clock game? They're already struggling in the 4:25 time slot. Sunday is prime viewing. 1, 4:25, 8. That's the same Sunday everybody has when they watch the same Sunday everybody has when they watch the NFL. You got that puts you with two primetime games and you win the ratings weekend. You're done.
Then why doesn't college football have this issue?
For what?
I mean, college football has games that kick off at noon and 1 on Saturday.
Because it's the fall and it's college football. It's when it's always played. The NFL is not traditionally played on a Saturday.
That's very true. Only in December.
They don't play it on Saturday anymore.
Did they not? I was going to say, did they not do that? After I said that, I thought, you know what? I don't think they had any game in December on Saturday in December this year.
They haven't played on Saturday except for Christmas Eve in years.
I don't know.
Those weren't getting ratings.
That's the only big issue I have with primetime football. I understand it. I get it. I know why it has to happen, and I understand it. When your team's on and it's a Thursday night game, or it's a Monday night's the worst, then you're trying to recover for the rest of the weekend.
Okay, but here's the issue. Look at all the population in the Central Mountain and now Western time zones.
Yes. I've told
your
you before.
You say the game ends at 11:30. Yep. Well, in Chicago, it ends at 10:30.
That's exactly
Denver, it ends at 9:30. In San Francisco, Los Angeles, Seattle, it ends at 8:30.
And those games have to start at what, 5:30? 5:30 Pacific time to be on at at 8:30 mm-hmm. on Sunday night or Thursday night, rather.
Exactly.
Or Monday night, for that matter. And then that's hard to get people out to the game.
Not on a Sunday.
No, I'm thinking on a weekday. I'm thinking on a Monday or a Thursday game on the West Coast, a primetime game on the West Coast. It's tough to get people in the seats kickoff.
It's a little different. Yeah.
It's like a Dodgers game.
No, the Dodgers game is just because that's just the way they are. All right, we'll come back with more. Kevin, voice of the fan.
I'm proud to wear the hat.
Well, good. Good. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Oh, he's mad at me again.
I can't believe you did not watch any halftime. Did you at least see Bruno Mars come out on the drum set?
I saw Bruno Mars on drums, and then I started working on the Michigan State game. And I literally did not see any of halftime. And until you told me now, I didn't know that Flea of the Red Hot Chili Peppers was whatever. I don't know.
Hey, when this week started, you didn't even know Flea existed.
You got that.
Except
right.
If it's on the dog.
You got that right. The only thing about Flea is that you got to buy something to get rid of it.
You got to buy a bomb in the house. That's right.
Yeah. No, I did not. And it had nothing to do with any commentary about Bruno Mars or anything like that.
You didn't watch Puppy Bowl, did you?
No.
Oh, thank
you. I started working on Michigan State because I have to stay ahead here. I've got a varsity S ceremony that I have to MC tonight. I have the basketball talk show tomorrow night. I'm flying Wednesday night. I got a game Thursday night.
If
I had to really take advantage of the time I had to really get ready for certain things.
Well, if anybody happens to leave one of their S's behind by accident or there's an extra one, can you pick one up for me?
Oh, boy.
It's the only way I'll ever get one.
Yeah, sure. We'll make you think it stands for Steve.
I don't care. I know what it really means.
There you go. Well, that's now over with, and the game... I think the biggest disappointment for the league is the game was an absolute aberration of what the league is. I think that's the biggest part I think they're probably disappointed with, is that the game was an absolute aberration of what the NFL is. The NFL now is a league that is just so closely bunched together that there was only one other game this season that had that margin, and that was the Bears and Eagles game in Philadelphia.
Steve, it was like going to a fireworks display, and every one of them was a dud.
It's just, and every playoff game was close and down to the wire. But you know what? I listened in preseason. I was driving back from Williamsport doing baseball. And I was just flipping around, and the Broncos-Seahawks preseason game was on. And Dave Logan was on explaining how Peyton Manning was going to play longer in the game and how happy he was going to play longer in the game. Peyton was, because the Seahawks would give him the best test about where he is. You know what? The Seahawks kicked the daylights out of the Broncos that night, too. And I really had discounted it because it was a preseason game. I shouldn't have. I found the Seahawks on Tuesday when I was around them to be confident, loose, and I found the Broncos to be tight and businesslike.